older than whatever you are. And as you get older, you know, you keep pushing it up. And I'm now what I used to think was old. So I don't know, but I know the Bible uses that terminology, that the elder. Now, you ought to be aged. That's a good word. Aged. You people in here that have been saved for years, it tells you what you should be in the church. And you, last time we talked to the aged men and the older men, and we'll just say, let's break that off at, I don't know, let's say 35, okay? 35. 30, okay? Aged men. If you're over 35, you're an aged man. Well, you want me to pull that up a little bit, push it up a little bit further? 45, 55, 60. Somebody's got to be old. 60's middle-aged? Is that what Miss Crawford? Oh, I mean. I didn't say it. My wife did. She does good for a 60-year-old. Amen. That's why the kids say she's a Gratia. I guess I don't know. I'm just kidding. She is giving up a week of her life to take them to California, so we'll be nice. Amen. Well, anyway, whatever, you men, old men, aged men, verse 2 says they're supposed to be sober, and I talked about that last time, grave, temperate, that means control yourself, sound in faith. They're not supposed to be wishy-washy and all that kind of stuff, in charity and in patience. Now, we're going to deal with the aged women and younger women, verse 3 and 4. The Bible tells right here in a church, if you're a woman, you're an old woman over 35. 30, that gets you. My wife is in the older women's group now. If you are in the aged women group, that's why the Lord said just aged. He didn't put no numbers there. Here's what you're supposed to do. Here's what you're supposed to do. Look at verse 3. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness. As becometh holiness. An older woman should display holiness. That should be their behavior. Now, let me say just a thing or two there. And I've got some notes here, but I've got some thoughts. First of all, I want to say there is nothing wrong with the word holiness. Amen? Holiness is a good word. Holiness is a Bible word. A lot of people say, oh, I don't want nobody to think I'm a holiness. You should. Holiness is a Bible doctrine, a Bible word, and you should have a reputation, if you're an elderly lady, of being holy. 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 Holiness. Holiness is a good word. We think holiness is a denomination. Holiness is not a denomination. You know, when I did my video on church the other night, we showed some of the different denominations where they worship God. And as I said, if you took that as me putting those people down, you listen to the devil. That was not my intention. I was simply trying to show a couple thousand kids the right way to worship God. That was not a put down of anybody. And if you took it that way, you heard wrong, and the devil put stuff in your head. And you better pray about your attitude. But holiness, there's some people in the Church of God and Pentecostal holy churches that would put a lot of Baptist women to shame when it comes to their lifestyle and living right. I was just talking the right way to worship God. I wasn't throwing off on them. A lot of them people live closer to God than a lot of so-called Baptists do. But then again, the opposite's true. I know some Baptist women that live closer to God than some of the so-called holy rollers. And so holiness is not a denomination. Holiness is not a sign over the door. Holiness is a lifestyle. Now, every elderly woman wants to be what? Pretty. All women want to be pretty, and you want to hang on to it as long as you can. And I'm going to tell you how you can be beautiful even though you are aged. That's what it says. That's just what the Bible. Will you help me? Is there a better word for this? What should I say? Now they say senior citizen. You don't like that either. What do y'all want me to say? Oh? Mature. Can't say that. Feeble. No. Aged. What it says, bro. Aged. Aged means you get better with time. That's what they say. All right. Because of holiness. Let me show you what the Bible said, how you can be beautiful even though you're going on in years. All right. Turn to Psalm, the book of Psalm. 29. Psalm 29. And let me show you something here in the Bible. We'll do a little Bible study here right quick. Everybody get your Bible and look at it. Psalm 29. I used to read this verse, but never really got a hold of me until I started looking at this word holiness. You ladies can be beautiful even though you're past 35. Okay? You want to be beautiful even though you're past 35? Here's the way to do it. Psalm 29:2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Beauty of holiness. There is a certain beauty that holiness has, and the Bible said for an aged lady to have that holiness. And I reckon there's some other scriptures. Turn to Psalm 110 since we're there. Psalm 110. And in Psalm 110, there's another verse that says almost the same thing. Look at Psalm 110, verse 3. We're talking about the word holiness and elderly women in the church. 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties, plural, more than one, beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning thou hast to do thy youth. There again, beauty is connected with holiness. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you have seen an elderly woman, maybe way on up in years, 75, 80, 70 years, and then on down 65, 60, 55, 50. How many of you have seen a woman that age that has lived for God all her life and lived right and lived whole? Don't they just have like a certain beauty to them? They really do. They really do. And I don't mean that bad in any way. I've met some Christian ladies that lived for God and were actually pretty, beautiful, and way up in years. And you know what? They just got a certain shine to them that the beauty of holiness shines on them. Amen. If you don't believe it, go look at some old hag that's lived for the devil all her life. You look at them. Phew. Man, that's the scariest looking thing you ever seen in your life. Nothing scarier than an old woman that's lived for the devil. You know what? She'll paint them lips up real red. Her face looks like, you know, leather. And well, she'll try to look young, you know. Put on a tight pair of blue jeans and suck her belly in and go-go boots, you know, or something. Here comes grandma. Man, I'd hate to meet her in a dark alley. But there's a certain beauty that living for God puts on an elderly woman, and she don't look old. She just keeps that beauty all the year. We have some here in our church that are actually pretty. And the Bible said the beauty of holiness. So if you want to be pretty when you're old, you look at a girl that runs wild when she's 17, 18, 19, 20. She loses her beauty real fast. Time she's 30, man, some of them look way on past their years. And you take ladies like Billy Graham's wife. I've always thought she had a gracefulness and a certain... what's her name? Ruth Graham. Ladies like that have backed her husband up all these years, and they keep something that a girl that lives in sin loses. But I don't know what it is. It's just, you can just see it on them. And I've seen this in the rest home. I've been in a lot of churches and preach, and white-haired, silver-haired ladies come around and shake my hand and just have the prettiest eyes and skin, and the Lord just seemed like He just blessed them with a certain clean, it's not a wicked beauty, it's a holy beauty that seems to be on them. And that's what the Bible said, that the aged women be in holiness. Holiness. That you should live a holy life. And I'm not going to get into a big long thing and preach about it tonight. But y'all know what it takes to have a holy life. I don't think just because you're a grandmother that you should just dry up and not have a life. I think you should get out. I think you should go places, do things, stay active, exercise, whatever. But, you know, learn to adapt to your as you move through life. We can't stay a teenager forever. Amen. Learn to grow old gracefully, or whatever they call it. And that's what we need to do. As they begin, become of holiness. Now let's look at the middle of verse 3. It's very interesting to me that the Holy Spirit, I was thinking about this evening, that it, when it's talking to older women in the church, it said the first thing they do, their behavior should be holiness, and then it said they should not be false accusers. Wonder why the Holy Spirit put that in there. Of all the things he could have said to the older women in the church, he said, don't you be a false accusers. I don't know. I suppose that may be a temptation for older women. I don't know. To gossip. I know one thing. It sure seems to affect a lot of them. I was in a church preaching, going to preach one night, and I went back in the back hunting me a place to pray. I don't even know where's that. Down the, I think it was in North Carolina, but 100 miles from here. And I thought, there's me a little room. And it was right next door to the nursery. And I got down to pray, and I heard these ladies in here. And I just should have shut my ears, but I was listening. I was nosy, I reckon. And I got down to pray, and I heard them, and they was in there, and they said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll just tell that preacher a thing or two. I'm going to give him peace of my mind. And you know what he did? I just brought them. They were tearing their pastor all to pieces. And I thought, them big hypocrites. They ought to be in there praying for their preacher. Yeah. If he's that bad off, get out and pray for him, sis, and talk to the Lord instead of yapping your mouth about him all the time. Amen? Yeah. That's why the Bible said for the older women to be careful not to be false accusers, because it's real easy for elderly women to get jealous. I don't know why, but it's easy for them to get jealous. And if you're not, thank God, shout hallelujah. And it said, not false accusers, not giving them much wine. And we done went over what that talks about the deacons and the preachers. You're not to be a drunk. You're not supposed to get drunk. It don't say it's all right to drink a little bit. It just says you're not supposed to drink a lot. Some people say, oh, does that mean we get to drink a little bit? It didn't say that. It said you're not supposed to be given to it. You ain't supposed to drink a little bit. Other scriptures in the Bible take care of that. But one thing I really want you to notice here is here you find that same commandment given to the congregation, ladies, as you do the deacon and the preacher. Some people go around thinking there's two sets of rules. One the preacher's supposed to live by, one that they're supposed to live by. And every commandment you can find to a preacher, you can find somewhere else in the Bible to you. Amen? Amen? God don't have two sets of rules. You go by this, but I just got to go by this. Oh, you're a preacher, so you have to do this. I don't have to because I'm not a preacher. No, 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 no. God told them deacons not to give them much wine. They tell the older women in the church not to do it. Amen? In plainer words, what's a sin for me is for you. Now, I know it seems worse when a preacher sins. It does. It really does. But the truth is, according to the Bible, what's a sin to me is sin for you. Brother Carl Lackey, pastor down there at White Plains, for years and years and years and years and years. And Brother Lackey, he didn't have a TV or nothing. And you know what he did? He went one day and rented a TV. Didn't own one. Rented one and stayed out of church on Sunday night and stayed home and watched it. And people took a fit. I mean, this guy really did this. You just have to know Brother Lackey. And they said, I cannot believe the preacher stayed home and missed Sunday night service and watched TV. He came back next Sunday and said, if it's all right for you, it's all right for me. He said, I've been preaching to you and preaching to you, and you say it ain't wrong, so shut your mouth. You, it ain't wrong for you, it ain't wrong for me. Amen. You don't think it's wrong when you do it?
Yeah.
Amen. Getting quiet now. I don't see how people think it's all right for them to do it, but they say, oh, you should have never done that. If it's all right for you to do it, it's all right for me to do it. Amen. Truth is, it ain't right for none of us to. Right's right and wrong's wrong, no matter who does it or don't do it. Amen. Well, it said this. It said, not giving them much wine, teachers of good things. Boy, we need older women in our church to be good teachers. And we are. We've got some ladies in our church that are good teachers. I think about a lot of our ladies in our church that do a good job teaching. And so that's what, oh, if you're an older woman, you're supposed to live holy. You're supposed to not falsely accuse somebody. Watch your mouth. You're supposed to not be given wine. No, don't drink liquor, alcohol, nothing like that. And teach good things. Now, we're going to talk about the younger women in the church. And this is also to the older women, verse 4, that they may teach the younger women. And by the way, the only way the younger women's going to get it here is learn it from the older women. I can preach my head off, but it's going to take you older women showing these younger women how they're supposed to live in a lot of ways. Because they're watching you. They may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Isn't that something? Elderly women in the church job is to teach younger women to do two things. Love their husband, love their children. You think, well, Lord, anybody with any sense got... Oh, really? Not anybody's going to love their husband and children. Really? We're not only seeing younger women not love their husbands, we're seeing younger women not even love their children. Are we or are we not? You better believe it, brother. Somebody needs to teach them. Now, the Lord said for the elderly women to teach a younger woman how to love her husband. I thought about this last night, and I was going over this in my mind, and I studied it, and I thought, well, I reckon I better try to do that. And I thought, I don't know how to teach a younger woman how to love her husband. I don't know what to tell them. So I wrote down a few things I guess they could do. But I guess that's why I don't know how to love a husband. That's why you elderly women are going to have to teach the younger women how to do it. Preacher can't do it. I ain't got a husband. Don't want a husband. Ain't looking for one. Amen? If I had a husband, I'd shoot him. That they may teach the younger women to be sober and love their husbands. All right. Now, if I had all the young ladies over here, and I said, I'm going to teach you how to love your husband. Now, this is for you ladies under your age. You didn't want to be in that other group, so you're in this one now. You say, well, I don't want to be in this one either. Okay, you're in the old group then. You say, well, I'm not old. Okay, you're in this group then. I said 30, 35, I don't know, somewhere around in there. All you young ladies that are married, here's what you got to do. This is just my thoughts. We'll get some maybe thoughts from these elderly women. The only way I know of to tell you to love your husbands is, to me, this may be totally wrong, you women, because men and women don't think alike. To me, you have got to look at his good points and quit looking at his faults all the time. I've counseled a lot of people and a lot of people with marriage trouble, and I've had a lot of ladies tell me, I hate my husband, I don't love him no more. I said, you love him when you married him? Yes, but I don't love him no more. I didn't know him. Now, I hate to say I told you so, but you should not marry somebody and not know them. That wasn't too smart. But that happens a lot of times. Now, the truth is, my daddy, I think when you say, you don't know nobody till you live with them. You can date 35 years and not know them till you live with them. Is that right? Amen? You don't know somebody till you live with them. Anybody can put their best foot forward on a few dates every now and then. Oh, yeah, you want to go eat here? Why, sure, whatever you say, darling. This is fun, that's fun, that's fun. Then you move in together and you realize there's dirty socks laying in the floor and he stinks and you stink and, you know, you just kind of... He ain't what I thought he was. Now, how are you going to love your husband? How are you going to love your husband when you don't feel it no more? You got to remember that love is healing. Thank God you can feel it sometimes, and hallelujah when you do, but love's not necessarily a feeling. The reason I know it ain't a feeling is because God commanded husbands to love their wives, and he don't command you to have a feeling. I mean, he commands you to do something. It's an active word of something you choose to do. Amen? So, ladies, here's how you fall in love. All you see is the person's good points. Right? When you first, oh, he's just wonderful. Oh, he is just wonderful. Mom, your mama said, mama tried to tell you. Didn't mama try to tell you? Nod your heads. She sure did. Mama said, now, honey, I don't know about that bunch. They've got a reputation around here. And you said, but Mom, he is the nicest thing in the world. Mom, Mama told me, you better shop around. That's right. That's right. But nothing else will do you. You saw them good points. You saw them good points. You saw them good points. And he's got them. He's got them. He's got good points. You wouldn't have married him. And somebody said, yeah. Said, when we were dating, I asked my wife, I said, what's your faults anyway? Because for a while, I couldn't see none. I said, they're bound to be there. I said, what's your faults? And she said, tell me what your faults are. I want to know. I don't want to find out the hard way. And she said, well, I get mad, but I get over it quick. And that's true. That's the truth. I said, oh, I appreciate you being honest with me. Amen. I can expect that, right? And once in a while, I get mad, but get over it quick. That's a good, honest admission of your fault. But a lot of times, people won't do that. They lead the other person to think, I'm just Mr. Suave all the time. And, and everything like that. But listen, I got news for you, buddy. Everybody in this world's got faults. Everybody. You sit at home, watching yourself, and think, oh, if I could just have a husband like that. Yeah. You might not want it if you had it. Amen? That little weak-kneed thing probably has a handshake like a fish. Probably not a girl, you don't, it's not what it's cracked up to be, girls. To love their husbands. To love their husbands. Look at his good points. If you're not careful, all you'll see is the bad part. The bad part. The bad part. And the bad part. And then in the back of your mind, you'll start thinking, I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to get out of this. First time he says one word to me, then you're getting in trouble when you start thinking like that. You're getting in trouble. And I know sometimes it don't work out for people, and I'm not fussing at you. I know that's a delicate thing. Many of you have been through divorce. I'm not fussing at all. Sometimes it don't work out. I ain't stupid. Sometimes it don't. But I think a lot of marriages could be saved if we would dwell on each other's good points and not look at our faults all the time. If you dump them for somebody else, that somebody else is going to have faults. Amen? And that's why people in Hollywood just go from one to the other their whole life, because as soon as they find out they got faults, they dump them. Then they find this relationship and it's wonderful. And they find out they got faults and they dump them. They find this relationship and it's wonderful. And they're in love with themselves. That's the problem. They're in love with themselves. So don't try not to look at his faults. Say, look, does he work? Hallelujah. That's something to shout about. There's a lot of women would love to have a husband that'll work. Amen? You ladies in here, I just can't stand him. Does he work and pay your bills? Don't tell me. Well, I am telling you. You ought to thank God for that. Let's go on visitation tomorrow morning. We'll take you to some houses where a woman would jump up and down and shout with glee, man, to have a man that work and pay their bills. They're worried about getting the lights cut out, more groceries coming every month because they've got an old sorry good-for-nothing husband that won't work. If he'll work, thank God for him. Let me ask you this. Will he go to church? If he'll go to church with you, glory to God. That's a good point. Will he pray with you? I know a lot of men won't do that. But if he pray with you, shout about it, sister. Shout about it. Amen. You say, I'm not trying to tell you how, I'm not trying to run your life. This is just my thoughts on how a younger woman can love her husband. Try to look at his good points. You say, well, me and him just wasn't meant to be. It's too late for that. Too late. You got to try to make the best out of it. And work for God. This is 1999. This ain't 1780. This ain't 1900. The devil's got his guns turned against you. I don't know what to tell you. Be careful about what's on TV and them movies and stuff, because they'll give you a false idea of romance that don't exist in real life except to the first one night stand or some junk like that. Amen? Some of you elderly women in here, maybe get all these young women together sometime and teach them how to love their husband. What about this? Don't talk bad about him. I think that's a good way to love your husband. Don't talk bad about him, young ladies. I can't stand here somebody bad-mouth their husband, or their wife either for that matter. Since we're talking to young ladies right now, their husband. Their husband. Maybe he is. But still, he's your husband, and look at his good points and brag on his good points. Usually when a woman's always throwing off on her husband, what she's doing is she's building up a case so when it blows, it looks like it's his fault. Right? To make me look good, him look bad. But I got news for you. People ain't stupid. People ain't stupid. They can see. And people know. People knows what the deal is. People know if you got a good man. People know if you got a good woman. Ain't that right? So I feel for you. I know we got a lot of people in here in our church that marriage is just hanging by a thread, and there's somebody that's just hanging on. Lord knows I ain't fussing at you. Lord knows I ain't fussing at you. If some of these people that judge you was in your shoes, they'd be doing worse than you are. And don't you ever judge somebody who's been through a bad marriage or a divorce or a separation. Don't y'all sit in here and talk about them like, well, I heard she was doing that. I heard it ain't none of your business for one thing. And another thing, if you was in those shoes, you might be doing just as bad. Amen? So you just keep yourself straight and don't try to run everybody else's life. Right? My job from the pulpit is just to preach what's right, and then we drop it right here. So I don't want to hear nothing critical about anybody in here, no matter what kind of marriage problem they've been through. Just pray for them and try to be a friend to them if you want to do something. Amen? Amen. I know a lot of people got knocked out of church because they went through marriage problems and everybody in the church jumped down their throat and judged them and just pushed them on out into sin. We don't want to do that. This is a place where you can get some help. But I am going to tell you the truth. And the truth is, marriage is supposed to be for life, and you're supposed to stick it out if at all possible and do your best to make it work. And that is the truth. How about this? Try to help him. Try to help your husband. I hear this more and more and more. I hear it when I go off to preach. Somebody will talk to me and they'll say, preacher, I need to talk. And I hear this. He's not meeting my needs. I hear that more and more and more and more. And I think, what do I say to a woman that says that? I think, lady, you're thinking backwards. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says he's supposed to meet your needs. I see in the Bible where God gave a woman to the man to be his helpmate. I see that in the Bible. I think we got it backwards. God didn't give you him so he could help you. I mean, is that the Bible or not? God gave the woman to be the helpmate to the man. You're not the queen of the home and everybody's supposed to wait on you hand and foot. This ain't, y'all, me and, are you scared to say amen or just, what? It's a truth, buddy. It's a truth. And I'll tell you the reason I'm telling you this. The reason I'm telling you this is because I don't believe you can be happy not doing what God wants you to do. I don't believe you can be fulfilled not doing it. God made the woman to help the man, not the man to help the woman. You say, don't say that because I can't get. Now, I'm not saying he should love you enough to die for you. He should be good to you. He should make sure you're taken care of. He should make sure you get anything you want and all that kind of stuff. He possibly can. You men, don't you use that as an excuse not to be good to your wives. But, ladies, here's what you do. Say, I'm going to raise my children and make my husband the happiest I can make him. And then God will make you happy. If you sit around and say, I'm not happy. He won't make me happy. Well, I got news for you. Nothing else will either. Solid gold house wouldn't make you happy. There's tons of men that have built new houses, bought new cars, took trips, bought them a wig, new teeth, and everything. And it didn't make the woman happy. Like, man, it ain't going to make a woman happy. Ask Cheryl. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I just seen Bruce get up and run out, so I was picking on him a little bit. You know where you're going to have to get your happiness? You're going to have to get it from the Lord. You know where you're going to get satisfaction? From the Lord. Amen? If Holland Popoff can be happy in prison, eating bread and water, and not having nothing, then you can get some joy from the Lord. That's where we got to get it. We got to get our joy from the Lord. And then just fill our roles as husband or wife. And ladies, I am not fussing at you. But if there's ladies in here that I feel sorry for you. And there, some of you I admire, and I don't see how you put up with what you put up with, really. I'm not fussing. Don't you take me wrong. Just make sure you're not in love with yourself. Make sure that ain't your problem. All right. Now it said, teach them to love their husbands, to love their children. It's unnatural for a woman not to love her children. It's as unnatural as being homosexual. The Bible said in the last days it'd be without natural affection. Usually we think that means automatically homosexual, and it does, but a woman has a natural built-in instinct love for her offspring. It ain't like loving your husband. It's something you're born with, sis. Your husband, I mean, if you don't love your kids, you're just as messed up as a homosexual. And a lot of times we preach on that homosexual just like that's the most wicked, ungodly thing in the world. But a woman don't love her kids, it's just as perverted in her mind as a homosexual. That's not natural. That's unnatural for a woman. Man, they're throwing them out in trash cans, giving them away, strangling them to death, putting them in microwave ovens. It's not natural. Now, women, you should automatically love your children. I think about my mom. My day's coming up Sunday. And I think about my mom. You know, when me and my sisters was growing up, my mom's life was us. Daddy's gone all the time. I never even seen Daddy when I was growing up. I'd see him once. Daddy's either working or running his dogs in the woods or training. I never seen my daddy growing up. And my mom's life was raising us kids. That was her life. She didn't have no other purpose on earth. You know, Daddy was gone all the time. My daddy, you know, Daddy was a good-hearted man, but he just grew up like a wild animal. He'd say, I'm going to the store to get a loaf of bread and come back a day or two later. that's just the way he was. Now, he got better after he got saved and got up, but he just walk off, never tell you where he's going, where he's gone, where he's been, or nothing. He just like that. He just gone. And Mom invested her life in us kids. I don't ever remember getting up. Ever. And I remember when I was 3 and 4 years old. I remember it. Because I know we moved from Clinksville when I was 5, and I remember that house down in Clinksville. I must have not been 4 years old. Getting up early, 6:30 in the morning, and sitting on the cabinet watching Mom fix breakfast. I never remember us running around, keep looking at the clock, wondering when my mom's going to get up. I don't remember such a thing. Only time I ever got up before my mom was on Christmas morning. And we'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to open our presents. You know, they'd been up till 2 waiting on us to go to sleep so they could wrap them. I put them out under the tree. But listen, I remember my mom sleeping till 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. Do you? I mean, some of y'all didn't. Kids now, mama's in there covered up. Mama was starving. Shut up! They come back at 11 o'clock. Mama was starving. There's a Pop-Tart in there. Cover back up. She comes dragging out there at 12 o'clock. You know, down. Now you kids get out of here. Time for my soap operas. Put some one of them old cardboard pizzas. That's all it is, cardboard with ketchup spread on top of it. And put them in the oven. That's poor little old youngins have to raise theirself nowadays. Hey, man, I never remember my mom not being there. Never. I didn't know what it was for my... I mean, Mom was always there. Mom was always there. I remember being ashamed of my mom, of her out in public, dressing wicked, you know, and trying to look like a teenager again. And I don't remember that. My mom didn't do stuff like that. There's something about that. Love their children. Good night. Let's finish this other verse right here. I've done too much time up, y'all. I'm sorry. Let's finish this up right here. We might have to wait on this. Too good. Verse 5 said to be discreet, chaste, that means pure, of course, keepers at home. And that's where you get people fussing for years about a woman working. Is it wrong for a woman to work a job? Is it wrong? And yeah, that's where all them old sayings come from. A woman's place is in the home. You know, you've heard that all your life. You've heard old preachers get up and say, the damnation of this country is when the women got out and went to work. And there's a lot of truth in all that. A lot of truth. A lot of truth in all of that. But I know sometimes you're a single mother. Sometimes you can't make ends meet. I'm not saying it's wrong if you work a job. But I will say this. While your kids are little, your most important thing you can do is be with them kids. If at all possible. And if you can't, do the best you can. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Let's just go ahead and stand and be done.